Maybe you could kind of get started telling me a little bit about yourself and your background, and how sugar CRM is going to be different under your leadership than it was under John Roberts.
Well, so a little of my background. I have been in the Linux and open source space for quite a few years now. I'm an engineer by training, PhD in electrical engineering from Stanford, came up in IT and writing code, have worked on a lot of different systems, spent some days in computer language design, CAD, software development, all of those spaces. I was the founder and CEO of VA Linux, which I took public in December of 1999. Along the way at VA Linux, we created open source sites such as SourceForge.net, the largest open source developer site on the internet. SourceForge.net does over 30 million unique visitors a month. Along the way was one of the group of people who helped coin the term open source. A group of us at the time were making businesses built around what was then referred to as free software, and we realized it was a little tough to sell something what was named free.
Uh-huh.
We were looking for a different branding mechanism, if you will, and ended up settling around the term open source, and I think it's been quite successful. Following VA, I spent some time as a venture investor and angel investor, and you know, working with startup companies, and was lucky enough to be involved with a number of successful ventures there, including JBoss in the middleware space. Red Hat acquired ZenSource virtualization, went to Citrix. If you watch the news just yesterday, SpringSource and Hyperic. So SpringSource acquired Hyperic, which is in the systems management space, open source, and Spring is middleware, and they were just acquired by VMware.
Yeah, what's your take on that deal?
I think it's a great, great fit for VMware. I mean, the company is trying to expand beyond virtualization into cloud computing infrastructure, and the first level of cloud computing infrastructure is the virtual machine, which VMware has a great position in, and Spring, in particular with its acquisition of Hyperic, has a great platform for building out applications in the cloud. And I think that's where I see them going with it. I think it ends up being a great fit in expanding them beyond just the virtual machine. And I think it's the kind of thing that they need to be doing to continue to become more relevant as an infrastructure provider.
Yeah.
I think it's a great great move for them. Great move for them.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And so now that you're – how long have you been aboard now?
I've been aboard about 2.5 months now. I think going on 3 months. It's really fun. I think Sugar's a great company, and I am in here on an interim basis, right? So we are continuing to look for someone to come in here full time, but full time I mean on a permanent basis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a fantastic company, a great team, and having a lot of fun with it.
And so, what are your kind of goals as you're running the show for this interim period?
Well, if you look at where the company's going and been, you know, one of the things I'm doing is as I look at it, I think just do what a company should be doing at this stage, which is increase our focus on our customers, sort of continue to support a very strong developer and open source community. Continue to drive, the business along those directions. I think we've got a great customer base here. We've got a product that people love. And, I think that's witnessed by the sort of developer open source traction we have. We're going to continue to leverage that. We're also going to continue to develop our strategy around the cloud. And one of the things that I think is very interesting about Sugar, and I don't think people always get this. I think some of us that are, software insiders, or software industry veterans, understand the difference, but I'm not sure everybody does. Everybody who's not deep in that space gets it. But Sugar is a product, a web-based product that you can run on a server locally at the customer, or it can be run by a hosting provider or VAR in the channel. or it can be hosted on our own data centers back in Sugar. And most of the industry, as I still talk to people, is used to this notion of either you have an application that sits at the desktop in maybe traditionally a client-server mode, or you've got an application that's out there as a SaaS provider, and there's sort of one multi-tenant instance that runs at the SaaS provider in the cloud. And with Sugar, you know, we're something in between that, right? Mm-hmm. We have a web-based app that can run in the cloud, but the cloud here can be the customer's data center, their cloud. It can be a third-party cloud, or it can be our own data center at Sugar. And that kind of flexibility, I think, is a big differentiator and something that we're going to continue to focus on.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's actually something, you know, we struggle with, just kind of how to write up, you know, what is the cloud, what is SaaS, what is private cloud. Are you seeing some appetite for people running their own versions in their own, either in a private cloud or on somewhere like Amazon on their own? Kind of how does that break down among your customer base?
Yes, very significantly. I guess the numbers would be something over 2/3 of our customer base run either in a hosting provider or on their own systems, right? And if you think about it, I mean, that's really a big part of our differentiation is that flexibility around cloud, right? And in fact, we recently announced a version of the Community Edition that's available as an Amazon machine image. So I think you can get a sense of where we're going some of this, which is make it easy for people to deploy and use Sugar in whatever environment makes sense to them. And if you look, we have customers like Athena Health that moved from SaaS to, you know, on-premise, their own cloud, because of the additional integration flexibility you can give them.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a common story that will continue to play out.
And does open source lend itself to this?
Yeah, it's a great fit. I mean, one of the big advantages of open source, of course, is that you have access to the code, right? And that whether you actually use that to mean you modify the code or not, and most people don't modify the code, right? But having access to it gives them the ability to create integrations and to understand what's happening to a level that you don't have if it's say a SaaS only model up in the cloud or a proprietary closed source system that you're running locally. So that plays very well into the open source model. And you know, my friend Martin Mikos, who CEO over at MySQL, used to have this great analogy. Having the source code is like having the airbag in the car, right? You want it there, mm-hmm. and it's there if you need it, but you're not sure you ever actually want to have to use it.
Right.
We certainly have a thriving developer community that accesses it, and I think, again, it gives our customers a certain comfort, and it gives them the ability to better understand what's happening when they want to create integrations. When they need to understand things, but you know, for the majority of our customers, they don't really dig into that,
right?
And they don't have to.
Right. Well, and you were talking a little bit earlier about kind of coining the term open source and kind of the term free software not really working. I think there's a lot more attention these days on maintenance and support, even by customers that are, you know, using proprietary enterprise software. Have you seen that affecting you guys at all? I mean, are people a little more conscious of the enterprise or the support and maintenance side of things?
Are they more conscious of those costs?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I think the industry is moving to a model, and I'd be curious to get your feedback on this. But it's moving to a model where the customers realize that the value in the software is not in that first acquisition of the software, but it's in the ongoing maintenance support and relationship with the vendor, right? And a number of companies have done this well, and a number have not. Most of the open source businesses, and Sugar in particular, that I'm involved with, have seen work around this model that it's not the initial acquisition of the software where the cost is, it's in the ongoing maintenance support of that. And thus we have this subscription model where the customer pays annually for that support and those services along the lines of what you traditionally got in the software world as maintenance, right?
Right.
And I think what I like about that model is that customers get ongoing value for ongoing maintenance, and if ongoing maintenance and support, and particularly in the open source world, if you're not delivering that value as a vendor, the customer has the ability to go elsewhere, right?
Right.
And they have the ability to turn that off. And so that creates, I think, a very good balance between the vendor and the customer of that software. And it's interesting, if you don't mind, I like to use Microsoft as a contrary example here. Okay.
By all means.
If you look at what Microsoft does with Windows, they have this model, and it was the right business model for the 80s. Okay. But sort of the world of software has changed. Much of the software has become commoditized, and what's important is not the selling of new software, but the maintenance and continued support of what people have. Microsoft with Windows has this model where they require people to buy a new version every 4 to 5 years. And by the word require, I mean their business model requires it. They don't make money unless someone comes along and buys a new version of Windows. And it's interesting, I think we've seen this now with Vista and Windows 7. People don't necessarily want a new version.
Mm-hmm.
What they want is the continuing maintenance and support of what they have. And Microsoft sells the new version, and yet on the desktop they're giving away Microsoft Update, right?
Right.
Well, the open source model applied this would reverse that. It would say, what you need to do is give away the operating system up front and then charge for those update services in maintenance and support. And if you look at the way Microsoft is trying to take sort of this old model and continue to hang on to it in a world where I think the customer is going the other direction, just saying the value here is not in forcing me to buy new versions, it's in maintaining and updating and supporting me in what we have. I think that's something Microsoft is struggling with.
Yeah.
Right. That's just a sort of a contrast between the models.
Right. Well, and I'm actually glad you brought them up because I know you guys are announcing SugarSAM going up on the Microsoft web platform. Can you talk a little bit about that announcement and kind of how the open source community kind of views that? I mean, it's not always been.
Well, it's interesting. Microsoft has always been a strong platform in the open source community. Most people kind of find it kind of odd when they take a look at it at first, but then you have to realize Microsoft runs a lot of systems out there. I mean, even in the sort of web-focused world where you might find Unix and Linux systems dominant as opposed to the desktop, Microsoft has a very significant market share. And going back to JBoss days, half of the business of JBoss was on Microsoft Windows. And if you looked at MySQL, half of MySQL's business was on Windows. And at Sugar CRM, a significant portion. Now, I don't know the numbers exactly, but I'd say about half of our business is roughly on Windows as well. So it is a significant platform out there. And what Microsoft has done is Microsoft recognizes that open source in general is an important part of their software vendor ecosystem for applications. They've put together an application installer platform, and we are part of that program so that people now running on Microsoft OSs can easily install via the Microsoft application installer for open source that they've made available. You can easily install applications like SugarCRM. I think it's a great fit for the technology, and as I said, you know, we've got a significant amount of usage on that platform. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, you've obviously, I mean, you've got kind of a long history in the open source world. Kind of what's been your take on the CRM market since you've kind of jumped in there in the past 2.5 months or so?
I think the CRM market is a fascinating one for me right now. I think you've got a lot of, or certainly a number of old line vendors with a technology that I would say is probably not up to date with the web and the leading edge of what's going on with internet applications. You know, you've got some older vendors that are there. You know, the Oracle Siebel solutions of the world that are, you know, I sort of think of as big, heavyweight software that is, you know, in the enterprise, in large installations, and you know, has, I think, some interesting applications that would like to move down market, but because of where those applications and software has come from, it's very difficult for them to move down into a broader market. And in general, by the way, this is a theme I think open source has pursued well, which is the notion that applications that were once the purview of just the, you know, Fortune 500 companies or Fortune 1000s are being recreated in a lighter weight, easier to use, less expensive framework and made available to a broad mass of small and medium business. And I really feel that Sugar is doing that in the CRM space, making available functionality that previously was not available to this broad mass of small and medium business. At the same time, sort of at the other end of that spectrum of the market, there's SaaS vendors, which is sort of this pure hosted SaaS model like a Salesforce. And again, they're also, I think, trying to bring CRM down to a broader market. I think there's a lot of similarities between SaaS and open source in that regard. I think the difference is that a big chunk of the market wants the flexibility in what they do with that product that they can't get out of SaaS. And at SugarCRM, we can sort of fill that need in the market, right? So that we can fit, we can provide the customer the flexibility that they want via the open source application, provide them with a, you know, fast, lightweight, easy to use product, and let them deploy it in the mode that they like, and really bring CRM to a broad mass of people that, you know, for whom it was not accessible before.
Yeah.
That's sort of the broad CRM vision.